Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. How many love that worship just now? Come on. Woo! That's what you call entering in. Thank you, God. Woo! That's how you get soaked. Hallelujah. And saturated. Hallelujah. By worship and praising God. Amen. My friends, we're so excited this day. We have two special guest speakers that are going to bring forth the word. We've been praying for them. They're ready. They've been studying. One almost wasn't going to be here, but I said, man, the message is going to be real good now. Oh, that's right. See, the enemy don't want you to speak. Can I get amen? Amen. The enemy will come, he'll come from all angles. He'll even try to touch you and try to bring affliction. But we serve Almighty God. Amen. And brother, you're here. You're here by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on. That's right, brother. Amen. So, with that said, we're going to bring our first speaker. Let me just say that he's the son of Pastor Art Sesma, and he's turning out to be a wonderful man of God. We're seeing him grow in his faith. We're seeing his entire family grow in their faith. We're seeing what God is doing. When you allow God to work in your life, we see miracles. Can I get amen? We see God doing extraordinary things. And when God raises you up to be that priest of the home, blessings will pour upon your home like no other. Finances will come. Blessings will come. Unity will come. Harmony will come. All that. Things that we need. You need a house? God will give you a house. Amen? Praise God. God will do all things, amen, if you trust him. And so without any further ado, let's all receive Brother Marty Sesma by saying, praise the Lord.
Good morning, Amazing Grace family. Morning, Facebook and YouTube. Just want to thank Pastor Fee again for seeing this anointing in me and Brother Louis, my partner in faith here, and bringing the message. It's true what he was saying that, you know, when we're called to speak, it's not something that the enemy is happy about. You know, he tried to bring my brother down with illness, but he's seen him through that and brought him out here today. And you know, hearing the story of Gus, you know, I mean, wow, we all prayed for him, and you know, we didn't have doubt in our prayer. We knew that God had a special plan for him, and thanks for bringing him out today. Thanks, Lynn, and just happy to be able to speak and for everybody to hear this message today. But like I said, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to bring these messages, because somebody might get something out of it and turn away from what he's trying to do in their life. And I'm thankful today that I'm here for that. And what I'm bringing today is a continuation of what I brought last time. You know, the different kinds of fear we face in this world, and how God is intervening in it. Last time I spoke of 3 points of fear. You know, the fear of God, fear as a human emotion. And today I'm bringing another one. I almost didn't want to do it, you know, just because it was kind of just carrying the same tune, but I waited. I had a lot of stuff that I that I studied, so it was easier for me to just continue with it. But I did wait for God to speak to me, and a couple of days ago, I felt like God did speak to me. He brought something. Well, let's say it wasn't him. The devil brought something from somebody who means a lot to me, you know. It was a point of fear, like the devil was trying to suck me into that. And, you know, I can't let that detour what I'm doing now. I can't. So the feeling I felt was right away combated with what I've been reading and what I've been studying. I said, okay, here we go. You know, you ain't gonna deter me. You know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. That said, I just want to start in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this day, Lord God. Heart full of thankfulness. Thank you for getting us here today, Lord God. And I just pray that you open up our minds and our hearts to hear, and our eyes and our ears to hear and see what the Spirit is speaking through me and this message today. And I just give you all the thanks and all the praise. Amen. My first point today is fear of man. This is a fear of what other people might think, say, or do to us. It can lead to anxiety, people pleasing and compromising our values. In Proverbs 25:12 says, fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Now this is a tool of the enemy. Oh, slewfoot, as Pastor Fee calls him. A snare is used to capture animals using a noose or a loop made of wire or other string material. Now this verse contrasts the fear of man with trusting in the Lord, suggesting that true security and safety come from trekking on God's foresight and approval. We may find ourselves letting man hold us back from serving our Lord God, seeking approval of man instead of God. Seeking approval from man will keep us from being servants to the Lord, and this is very displeasing for our Heavenly Father. Fear of man can prevent believers from sharing their faith, speaking truth, or confronting sin as they worry about the reactions of others. In some cases, the fear of man can be seen as idolatry, where one placed the desires and opinions of others before God. For example, the Apostle Peter's denial of Jesus in the courtyard was influenced by his fear of the people present, even though he had previously declared his loyalty. Or with the Pharisees' hypocrisy. The Pharisees were known for their outward displays of religiosity, motivated by a desire to impress others rather than genuine faith. We must focus on trusting in God and on God's approval. We must remember God's promises and seek His wisdom, saints, not to be suckered into the traps of the devil. Not man, the devil. Like I said, that snare was laid for me, but I seen it. It was clear as day. This loved one of me was, you know, having a hard time. You know, there was some news of, you know, evil people who may be seeking to do harm to us or our families. And I seen the way he was, you know, affected by it. But I just couldn't let it be my reality. And I told him. I said, right now what I'm going through, what I'm studying and what I'm being touched by, I can't let fear detour me. I can't let it motivate any kind of actions other than what I'm going through right now. Again, I'll quote Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of my of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen. I'm going to move on to the second one. Fear of the unknown, or fear of the unknown is related to fear of the future, but it also can refer to situations where we are uncertain or unfamiliar with what is happening around us. Again, in the Bible, it encourages us to remember that He is always with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." The Bible acknowledges the natural human tendency to fear the unknown. It addresses this fear in various ways, often reminding people of God's character, promises, and presence. Many verses encourage believers to trust in God's sovereignty, wisdom, and love, even when they cannot see what lies ahead. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6-9, Noah was chosen by God, and Noah obeyed God's instruction even though he did not fully understand the situation or the future, right? We all know how that story ended. He was chosen. And this is like one of the turning points in not just biblical history, but human history. Because the abominations that were going on in those days were you know, God just had it up to here with it. He said, something has to be done. And He used Noah. He used him as a savior for us. Not like Jesus. Not like our savior for salvation. But to give us a chance to get to that point. Another point in the Bible is in Exodus. Now Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, facing the unknown challenges of the wilderness, trusting in God's guidance. Again, God's hand's in it. He's choosing men to lead other men to a better place. Now, the Israelites, those were God's anointed people in bondage, in slavery, in Egypt. And He chose Moses, somebody who, you know, like us, wasn't perfect, was not a leader per se, didn't understand His choosing, yet God chose him. And there's not a stronger relationship between God and man or an individual as there is Moses in Him. Now Moses was one of the first ones to actually see an image. Maybe it wasn't the exact image of God, but he seen Him and heard His voice. You don't hear about that much in the Bible. You know, the Jews to this day stand on the story of Moses and the laws of Moses, even above our belief in Jesus. So this was very strong point in biblical history. And this was fear of not knowing what to expect at its finest. Another example, in the book of Joshua. Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, facing strong and formidable enemies, relying on God's promise and presence. By recognizing God's presence, trusting in His promise, and finding strength in His character, believers can overcome fears and face the future with courage and faith. Amen? Again, this was after Moses finishing the covenant that God made with His people, leading them to the promised land. Every morning we wake up and are unaware of what the day may bring, but Lord willing, by putting on the full armor of God and seeking Him first through prayer and supplication, we are putting the rest in His hands, saints. Just have to have faith that He will be with us through the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys, the good and the bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all know about these things. If you don't know about the highs and the lows and the peaks and the valleys, you know, stay tuned. Because it says in the Bible, you know, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're not exempt from the lows. We're not exempt from the valleys. But with His trust, with His love, and with His guidance, flow right through the valleys of the shadow of death, right? No problem. And if that day comes where He does call us, we're not going to be on our, you know, freaking out. Hands raised high. Bring me home. Amen. Till then, let's keep on our journey. Let's touch other people. Let's tell about the greatness and the greatness of God. Let's work through our family members. I want all my family to come with me. I want to make it with them. That's what we're here for. So have no fear of the unknown. Trust in God. Might sound simple, sitting here saying it, but dive into the Word. Everything is there. If there's ever a book of how to face, how to beat fear, it's called the Bible, the Holy Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. It's all there. Just gotta open it up and dive in. My third point for the day. The fear of the supernatural. Now before I start on this, I just want to kind of bring my experience with a supernatural force that touched me when I was a young man, the first time. And the worldly people might call it something different, but I found it as a demonic attack. Spiritual demonic attack. When is the enemy attack us? A good time? While we're sleeping. While we're asleep. I was in my early 20s, and at the time, you know, separated with my beautiful wife here, Judy, going through my selfish phase, and I had a wicked dream. I was laying in my room in my dreams on my bed, and my eyes were closed, but I felt something on my chest, feet on my chest, just like that, kneeling down and looking me right in the face. I couldn't move, I couldn't speak, and I felt the presence of evil. Now, what I was going through in them days, I'm sure, was displeasing to our Father. But even then, going through this dream, I knew who I was calling on. I just couldn't spit it out because the devil was on me. And I know there's other demons. I read stories of different entities, and I believe that this first contact with this, I believe it was old Slewfoot himself. And I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything. But when I finally fought it off, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Help me, God. God. Jesus, help." I knew. Like I said before, I was raised religiously. Might have been Catholicism, but Jesus was the main character in that. And again, I called on Him. And when I got up and I woke up from it, I had one of the older guys from my neighborhood living with me at the time, you know, heroin addict in and out of prison, you know. And I came out of the room and I had never experienced it. And he was just sitting there on the couch, and I was like freaking out. I was freaked out, like, and I told him what had just happened. And it was crazy that his first response was, "It's the demons." And I just remember looking at him like, "What? What'd you bring into my house, dude?" Didn't say it out loud, it was, you know, it's what I thought, but that was my first experience. So, fear of the supernatural. The Bible acknowledges the existence of supernatural beings such as angels and demons, and this can be a source of fear for people. However, the Bible also teaches that God is sovereign over all things, including the supernatural realm, and that trust in His protection, that's what we have to do. Some Christians may experience fear related to the supernatural due to the occult, potential deception, or simply a lack of understanding. Deuteronomy 18, 9 verses 9 through 13. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. However, the Bible also emphasizes that God's power is greater than any supernatural force. Greater than any supernatural force. Amen? And that believers can find comfort and strength in His presence. Praise God. Like I said, it's in the middle of my darkness, and who did I call on? I didn't call on the homie on the couch. I said, "Bubba, hey, help me out." No. Called on the name above all names. Jesus. The angel of the Lord encamps all around. Psalms 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." But guess what, saints? The Bible is filled with accounts of God's supernatural power manifested through miracles, healings, divine interventions. Amen? Read up. It's there. You know, I know my kids hear from me every day. Seek God. Read the Bible. My son told me the other night, "Can I get one of those melatonin gummies?" He said, "I'm having a hard time sleep." I said, "Just open up the Bible, start reading until you can't read no more." The Holy Spirit is a supernatural force that empowers believers, guides us, and gives us spiritual gifts. Amen? Now again, so when I got saved a few years ago, and I'm going to backtrack and let you guys know that after that first supernatural dream that I had encountered, I didn't have one. I might have had one more, but it wasn't something that stuck out. But they came back. They came back because I found God. And I decided to put Him first in my life. No, I was running with the devil for a long time. And might not have been openly admitting of that, but my actions spoke louder than anything else in my life. And so a couple years ago when I got saved, I'd say after the first day or two, I had another encounter with demonic presence. And they just kept coming. Now, what this spoke to me in my heart was, I must be doing something right now. Because all them years of putting medicating myself to sleep and, you know, not putting God first in my life and declaring Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was slept like a baby for the most part, you know. And it was wild. It's been wild. I still, a couple weeks ago, you know, it was a weird dream. I thought I was hugging my wife. I start touching the pillow, which I hadn't. I sleep with a pillow sometimes, you know. But it felt like human. It felt like a human body. It felt like skin. And I was just like, what? And I touched the face, and there was no face. But it had me. It was holding on to me. It had a grip on me. And right away, I knew what was happening, and I said, you know, I called on Jesus. The demon was obviously preventing me from doing it right away. My wife, she could tell you, when I go through these dreams, I'm struggling. It's a fight. It's a fight to break away from whatever's holding on to me, whatever's trying to pull me in. And when I finally broke loose, what's the first thing that comes out of my mouth, Judy? Jesus. Jesus. Now, to me, it's simple. I speak the name above all names, and what happens? That demon is running off, hiding. You know, he ain't ready for that. He don't want that smoke. So when I first started having these dreams after getting saved, my sister was living with me. She's strong in the faith. I ran and I told her, you know, what happened. And we prayed. We anointed my house with oil, my room. And it's something that we do regularly. We anoint the house, you know. And one thing that my dad told me, don't mind that. Devil's a punk. So you got to let him know, oh, you punk, trying to get me while I'm sleeping, sissy. But it's true. He's trying to get us at a vulnerable moment, you know. But through the grace of God and through our faith in Him, these things will not deter me from what I'm trying to do. Pastor Fee sees something in me, an anointment, and I'm making a covenant with my Lord. I'm accepting it. I'm willing to walk through this covenant. I want to bring my family with me, and I'd like for everybody here to be a part of it. And I'm hoping that anybody going through it out there, you know, experiencing any of these things, could understand that through Him, through the power of God, there's no fear that's going to break us. We just have to call on His name. We got to go to Him for it, you know. Don't go out there to the card readers and the fortune tellers. They ain't got nothing for you. They're just going to bind you worse. You're going to be trapped even worse. So if you're listening out there and you're going through anything like this, call on Him. Use the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And don't let this fear deter you Don't fall into the trap, the snare. Just want to close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today faithfully and humbly asking for your guidance, Lord. No matter how fierce the storm or how high the waves, we stand anchored in the truth that you are our comfort. Lord, we ask you to ignite a fire within us, God. Strengthen us to stand firm on the face of adversity, knowing that you are worrying all things together for our good. Remind us that you are the God who does the impossible. When all seems lost, you are the God who does the impossible. The victory is already ours through you. And that you are bringing supernatural breakthroughs into every situation. We praise you in advance for the victories we have yet to see. Any health problems, any physical ailments, sicknesses or diseases, we are putting in your hands, Father God. Your unlimited power to defeat any test results today. Anything that the devil wants to put in our way, you are breaking him down, Lord God. And we thank you for everything you give us. And we give you all the glory. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we say, amen. Amen.
Come on, let's give God another shout of praise for that. Brother, those demons that come at night, they're real. I'll tell you why. I'll just share one real quick. Yolanda and I, we were watching TV on our bed. We're up watching. And it felt like something jumped on our bed like a cat, and it pinned both of us at the same time. We couldn't speak. It had our throat. And we knew already, we were trying to struggle to say Jesus. And I shook loose first. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. The blood of Jesus is against you. And it jumped off her. And we saw it go like through the wall. It just fled. As soon as we started pleading the blood. So those things are real. They come to buffet you, the Bible says. They come for a season too, but you know what? It's a reminder that there is a real heaven and a real hell, and there are real demons. But you know what? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So they can only attack you from the outside, but they can't come in you because the Holy Ghost lives in the inside. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. I had to share that because. Don't think it was just you. Don't think it's just you, man. It happens everywhere. So God is good. Amen. And so our next speaker, I can't wait to bring him up. He's just been, I got to know him, and I got to know Sister Marilee a little closer. I knew Marilee for many years, at least 12 when we were at the temple. I used to hear the stories of how God changed your life, girl. Just changed your life. But I got to know them both when they took the premarital counseling classes. How many weeks did we go? At least? Yeah, we went 13 weeks. 13 weeks. And we got to know them a little closer. And it turns out that Brother Louis is a wonderful brother. When you get to know him, he's like Brother Marty. I mean, just a real easygoing guys that you could just, you want to hang around with, you know. But Brother Louie, man, I just think and praise God how God is using you two to raise you up, to bring the word. And so we're excited for you. You thought you weren't going to make it, but I encouraged you. I said, here comes the enemy, old Slewfoot. Is trying to thwart what God is doing in your life. I said, so the message is probably going to be good. And so without any further ado, let's all receive Brother Louis Barraza by saying praise the Lord. Good afternoon, Amazing Grace. Glad to have you here, all. You know, we have our church here together, and we have some guests, which I'm very happy to see here, especially hearing that testimony of Brother Gus. Glad he's here. My daughter's here also, and her fiance, and my brand new grandchild too. So, but otherwise, yeah, God is good, right? And gotta say, Brother Marty, you have some way of delivering, and you really have it in you. I'm glad you're here, you know. But thank God Almighty for the instruction that we get. You know, I built a few cars and classic cars here and there, and I have manuals. And when you have a manual, it's the best thing you could ever have, you know, especially through schematics and electrical schematics and so on. But this manual here is the best one I've ever read. I'll tell you, because now that I've matured in life, I know I'm 46, a little late on maturing, right? But just to go through the ways of life, this shows you how to act accordingly to God. And practicing that here in this wicked world, it allows a much more smoother manner of how to go about things. So I love that. First of all, let's start with prayer, because then we can go ahead and open up. And yes, I almost canceled that today, but I recovered. Thank you, God. Thank you for the prayer. And he's good. God is good. All right. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you all for being here. Thank you for having me here to speak to our brothers and sisters in our fellowship. Let this message be clear that you provided for us to hear and take in and live with. That is your ways of life. So we thank you and honor you in our daily life. And for those that couldn't make it today, please bless them. They'll come around soon and at your timing, that is. For now, we'll enjoy the Sunday together and for the best to come. We thank you in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So at this time, I got to say, something happened about 2 years ago. 2 years ago at work, I was driving a truck at work. I'm a landscaper and do maintenance, so I carry landscape tools, that is, and more. It's like a dump truck, so it's like a one-ton type of truck. I had a coworker with me. Now, this was 2023 October, somewhere around that season there. And I had a coworker. Her name is Yesenia. She's about this tall, 19-year-old, but she can't really do the work, I'll tell you. Don't let the size fool you. So the reason I'm bringing this up, she was about 4 months expecting to be a mother. She was 4 months. So I couldn't forget this, though. We were off of Main Street right there in San Diego by 32nd, by Vesta, exiting the Freeway 15, okay? And this is where it gets interesting. We're at the intersection, and her and I were just talking while the red light's still in the traffic. So, I don't know, we're discussing for later for lunch, et cetera. Just casual talk, you know. Just okay with work. It was a cool morning. I love cool mornings when we're landscaping. It's dreadful right now in the summer. But anyhow, so yeah, we're at the stop, and you know, still waiting for the traffic to change, so that we can get onto Main Street, because we're off the ramp now, 15th Freeway. So then I see this car pass. So at the time, I did have a permit, a Class A CDL permit. I was working on that at the time, so I was very very focused and refreshed on the DMV handbook and how to go about it.
So this time I was just calm. Well, I'm just looking to my left, my right, as we're just talking. Then as I look to my left, I see this BMW, a great BMW, fly by. Now, when I say fly by, I'm not saying it was going 50 miles an hour. I don't know. I think that if this car was to hit a brick wall, it would have just destroyed and blew up. But that's how fast it was going. Really, really super high speed. It wasn't a, okay, it went by. It was a, like, man, like, I was like, are you saying you saw that? She's like, yeah, I did. I saw that. I'm like, all right. Well, light changed, right? There's the green light right now. Flash. Like, all right. Well, you won't believe what was chasing that. A 2500 series GMC Suburban going at that same speed as a BMW. Perhaps they were goofing off and racing, traveling northbound on Main Street. But if the light already, if the light didn't change it, the car already went. But the light already changed, and it's already 1-1000, 2-1000. 3-1000s, and it just passed by at that same high speed, because probably the driver was in no thought of braking, because it wasn't even going to make it anyways if it braked. Not at that speed, not at that heavy vehicle. Anyhow, because of the patience I had, because of, you know, taking my time to pull forward, That could have been us, and I would have got the blow, and perhaps, I don't know, she would have been super injured, and, you know, she was carrying a baby at the moment, right? So as soon as that Suburban passed, although it was green, I just looked at Yesenia, I looked at her to my right, I was like, did you just see that again? And we were just like, we weren't mad, but we were just laughing at the circumstance. Wow. God is good. God is good. All right. So with that being said, a lot of my coworkers drive these like dump trucks, like their Nissan Sentras. Wow, they go everywhere real fast. Sometimes I'm holding on to my dear life. Hey, I think 55 miles per hour is fine, but you want to take this to 80. You know, I got to go home and see family after this, you know, 8-hour shift. But I don't drive them that way. I want to drive it like you're carrying a glass of water and, you know, you're all right, and we could break on time. But anyhow, so that right there, that was a miracle for God. I've encountered other situations, but to me, this one mattered the most, because I had a coworker that was expecting to have a child. You know, my coworker. So anyhow, that mattered the most. So today I'm gonna be opening up on a subject matter that we don't discuss much, or we do, but we should also exercise a lot more. And that subject matter is patience. Okay, we got to be patient, because if I didn't have the patience that morning, and I'm just trying to rush out to some place, then maybe today would have been different. Okay, so I'd like to open up with what patience is. Okay, in the Webster Dictionary, it says, patience is a noun, as in intolerant, the capacity to endure what is difficult or disagreeable without complaining. All right, some similar words, and I heard this a lot through Pastor Fee. I learned this word a lot more from him when I was doing my marital classes with Mary Lee, is long-suffering, right? That's what patience is. Forbearance. It's another word. Discipline, obedience, sufferance, and then we got more words than that, okay? But in the Bible, or so God defines it as, patience is a gift of love. It is a virtue and a fruit of the Spirit. You see, timing is essential in every aspect of our life. The Holy Spirit is our compass in making decisions that on our own we will regret. Okay, there's anybody ever made decisions that regret in life? Raise your hand if you have. the majority have. Let me raise mine.
Okay.
You know, on that note, like speaking to myself, I've asked myself, how come I never got a tattoo yet? But I'm not sure if that was the Holy Spirit or the fear of my mom that's 5 foot tall, and she said she'll have me. You know what I mean? But anyhow, that's just me. I love tattoos, and you know, they're cool. I just feared my mom, I guess. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll tell mom what you said. Okay. So I won't. So.
You don't want to face that wrath.
Oh. All right. So, brothers and sisters, if you're saved and baptized, also raise your hand. All right, that's a great hand of you right there. All right. So if you are baptized, you have that Holy Spirit in you to guide you. So you have that compass for timing and patience. Okay, it directs you. So for now, we'll turn to Psalms 37:7. If you will, I'll repeat it again. Psalms 37:7. All right, one more time. Psalms 37:7, and it reads, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Oh, let's do that one more time. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. All right. Now let's do the breakdown on that. Okay. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. What this emphasizes the importance of trusting in God's plan rather than trying to control outcomes or taking matters in your own hand. Or trying to manipulate, okay? God's plan is going to be there regardless, okay? So wait patiently for it. That's what that means on that part. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. The other part of this scripture here on Psalms 37:7, do not fret over the wicked. On this part right here, it addresses the common tendency to be bothered by the success of those who do you wrong, okay? A reminder that God is ultimately in control and that the prosperity of the wicked is often temporary and fleeing. Okay? That's just a temporary matter. Just trust in the Lord, no matter what it is. Patience is the will to wait. See, God knows everything about us. He knows tomorrow. We don't even know. We should acknowledge that He wants the best for us, doesn't He? How many of you can agree with that? Yeah, amen. I agree, 100. Many times we want God to act on our time, and we want to come up with reasons not to wait. God is our biggest protector when He says no. Now that no right there, it doesn't mean rejection from God. Okay? It's God's way of protecting you. That's what it is. When no, there is a specific divine reason. Okay? God has the best plan, not us. Okay? The troubles we face, though, in this decision making, when we take it upon our hands, is the troubles we face are financial, marriage, all circumstances and situations as well. Okay? Would you say that you're patient? Everybody here today? Are you guys patient? Yeah. We all try. I try. You know, my wife says that I'm a patient man. I don't know what she sees patient about me. Because at the end of the night, she sees I try to overwork our projects at home, besides being at work for 8 hours. So I want to be patient, but I also want to move ahead. But I think she sees the other side of me, the patient part, where, you know, I I try to go ahead and just pause and not react on things. I learned that through life. I used to be a little different 10 years ago. I would just go ahead and react, not even pause. Now I pause. Now I'm more like, okay. But when it comes to like tasks, I like to tackle them out. Let's get this cleaned up. Let's get that move. That doesn't go there. Okay, let's got it. I'm moving right now. I'm currently moving. Sister Mary and I, we're moving in together. It's been a long journey. We did get married last year. However, knee surgery. Lease is up. Now it's time. It's go time. And I've been working on that. So lately I've been hearing, hey, take it easy. Don't burn out. So she's right. I got to be patient on that. But back to the message here. Trust in God. We don't question God's plan. We don't at all. He loves you and gifted you the Holy Spirit in the direction if you follow it. Here's an example on decision making. Okay. For a lot of us right here, well, some of us are already past this, but if you're not and you're young still, I mean, or if you're still single, do you just marry just someone? Like, just? Well, I think that the answer would be no, you know? You really just don't. That's the reality of it. Do you make that decision by simply hearing about the person? Hey, I'm going to sell you this individual right here. You know, straight A's and, you know, wash his clothes or something. I don't know. No, he don't. He don't do that. You don't make that decision by seeing the person either. Okay? Not even then. Even Lucifer was a beautiful angel, right? But it's not what it is. So what is the will of God in this right here, in relationships or marriage? Well, the first thing right here is that you align your relationship with God first. Okay? You do. So that the rest of your relationships can prosper. Not only just in marriage, but in family. Your friends, your coworkers, people you trust, or you want to, you know, have a good relationship with, positive one at least. So on Psalms 32:8. Psalms 32:8. All right. Psalms 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So this right here, that means we have the greatest counselor. Okay. We ask, how long do I wait for a response in prayer? I don't go back in the Bible trying to find an answer just for God's answer after a prayer. And then, an hour later, I found the answer. God has his timing. Again, we try to go ahead and do things upon ourselves. We don't do that. So the answer to this is until God, his wisdom, and his love tells you. There'll be a right time for that. There will. Don't ever go counsel from a person who doesn't have a walk with God either. We don't do that. As Brother Marty even said, don't go to the palm readers, sorcerers, brujos, whatever you guys want to call them. Don't go to them. That's going to get you more deeper trouble. Okay? That's not God's plan. So patience is essential to experience God's best. So for God's best, for you to experience in life with patience, though, it'll help you build good relationships with others. It'll allow you to also make friends. Because believe me, your friends are not going to be perfect. They'll upset you. They'll make you happy. And you're not friends. Give me my bike back. And, you know, as kids, right? Now we're older. Hey, you know, well, I don't know. That my brother owes me $20. But don't answer my calls no more. Just forgive them. It's fine. You know, have patience with them. Long suffering. Long suffering. The next point here. Be married, you must be patient with each other. It's a requirement. Okay? It's a requirement. I know every married couple in here are thinking to themselves, very, very true. If my brothers and sisters knew about him or her, but I'm patient and I love my wife husband or, you know, the other. So that is a requirement. You can't be married and, you irritate me and I can't stand it and you just got out of work. I wish you were back. That's ugly. We don't do that. No. Hey, people make mistakes. Have you ever spilled milk? I have. Believe me, I love my wife. You know, regardless of anything, I love her at the, you know, from the start and at the end of the day, I love her. She knows it. I made a deal with God. Yes, she's mine, and I wouldn't even replace her anyway. I believe he perfectly made her for me, just like you're all married here with your spouse. Okay, so let's jump to the other. Also, patience is essential to share counsel with each other as well. Okay, now remember, you gotta have a walk with God. It can't just be just my homie over there that I invited to church doesn't want to come through. We love those people too, by the way. All right, we love our friends. Be patient with them. I keep inviting my fellow friends to come. A few of them have made it. A few of them are still pending. But as Pastor Fee says, you know, you can't beat them in the head with a Bible. That'd be a God's timing right there when they'll arrive, okay? Put that mustard seed out. So let's jump to Galatians 5:22. That's Galatians 5:22. I bookmarked it here. But I also wrote it because it's a lot of scripture. Maybe sometime soon we'll have the button to change this here. But back to Galatians 5:22. Give you a minute to get there. I'll get a drink of water. You guys smell something out there? Yeah. All right. La carne asada. Yes. I think Pastor Fee's rubbing on me here. I've seen a. I smell good food too. Yeah. Galatians 5:22. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long suffering, yes, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You hear all that right there? It sounded so good, I want to repeat this again, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All those right there. That is a package of a good life right there. Notice I said good life. Okay, it's a good life, not a perfect one. Okay, we're not there yet. We'll see our master soon. Okay. We all have felt love. We all have felt joy. We all have felt peace. That was my best one right there. Long suffering, yes, we endure. Kindness, yeah, I have those days where I have all that. And the thing is, you got to maintain that too. Don't let it go. All right, keep in the spirit, stay aligned. You start getting off track. You notice you're a little grumpy or a little bit irritable. Just turn that around. Remember what the Spirit wants you to do every single day. Okay, so is God perfect? Let me hear you. Is God perfect? Yes. Okay. Is God ever late? No. Right on time. More on time than FedEx. Okay. So why not wait on him? Right? Trust him. So wait on him. I would. All day. Well, as far as this goes, that's our message for patience, okay? I thought I had a little more, but that's all I got for you today. Let's have patience with one another. And as Brother Marty mentioned earlier, which is also a good point to this, is that we're not at war against the flesh. We're not. Okay? Be patient with each other. And in traffic, too, because You heard me in the beginning, right? So we're here. So, so we're going to be closing this out in prayer. So for all those watching on YouTube, Facebook, all of our brothers and sisters here present today, for those who want to receive Christ, let us pray this prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. So bow your head and pray with me, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. I believe on the third day you rose again to give me eternal life. As I ask you, Lord Jesus, the God of all mercy, to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, make me a new person in Christ. Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and serve you all these days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, thank you, God. We give the glory to God always. Okay, I want to call up Brother Marty to give us our benediction. And then we're off to our lunch. All right. Thank you. Come on up, Brother Marty.
Before I get into our benediction, I just want to follow up one thing. If anybody out there is having or just gave their life to the Lord God, you might expect the supernatural dream, the demonic attacks, because now you're on the other side of that line, and he's going to throw his weak punches at you. Just be ready for it. But one thing that I do for myself and for my household, I pray every night. I pray against nightmares. I pray against ungodly dreams. I pray, I bind any evil or demonic spirits to come into our home while we're sleeping. And I suggest that you add that into your prayer before you go to sleep at night. And wake up in the morning when you pray again, say, thank you, Jesus. Regardless of if it went the way you prayed for it to go, thank him, because he was there for you in the night. Now let's pray this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.